where we came from, where we've been. They're eternal questions that say a lot about where we're going as the human race. Welcome to Ancient Mysteries on the Air.
Welcome to Ancient Mysteries on the Air. I am Jim Harold, and so glad to be with you. And one of the most fascinating things are these sites, these places where there could be possible treasure. And we're going to talk about a very interesting legend and see if the legend lives up to the reality. And our guest today is Jason Fritsch. He is the author of the recent book, Cracking the Code on the Lost Dutchman's Mine, How I Uncovered the Truth About Gold, Map, and Murder. And Jason has one of the most concise biographies I've ever read. He says, not much to tell about me. I'm a father, a nerd, and a cybersecurity professional. I love solving mysteries and watching Star Trek, and I'm all out of reruns. And one of my favorite bios that I've ever heard. Jason, welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Jim. I really appreciate the opportunity.
So I guess maybe the first place to start, if people aren't familiar, what exactly is the Lost Dutchman's Gold Mine?
The Lost Dutchman's Gold Mine is a mine, a supposed mine, in the Superstition Mountains in Arizona. Back in the late 1800s, there's a gentleman by the name of Jacob Waltz. He was a German immigrant. And back then, people associated, they saw he was from Deutschland, and they probably called him Dutch. So it was very common to call people from Germany Dutch. So right. They called him the Dutchman, even though he was German. And he somehow stumbled upon a mine. There's lots of stories about how he came across this mine. The mine supposedly was from the Peralta family, a Spanish and then Mexican family that mined the entire area. And they're known throughout the Southwest to own several gold and silver mines. And they were constantly fighting with the Apache Indians. And there's a famed battle called the Peralta Massacre. Mm-hmm. And supposedly one of the survivors of that massacre was saved by Jacob Waltz, and in trade of saving his life, they offered him a map. Now, there's so many different variations of that. I've heard ones where he lost it. He won it in a card game. But he somehow got access to this mine, and he mined it for years. He probably only went up there about a dozen times total, spending weeks up there at a time. But after a while, people in the Phoenix and the surrounding areas started noticing that this old miner was paying everything with gold. And people started asking him, so where'd you get this gold from? And he playfully, like, oh, I got a secret mine. You'll never find it. He gave clues. He loved to brag. He talked about it. There's an 18-inch vein of quartz. There's a horse head shaped rock face next to it. He loved to give tease people. He said it's within 5 miles of Weaver's Needle. And oddly enough, it's exactly 5 miles, almost to the dot, from Weaver's Needle. So he knew all these things, and he was playful. Eventually, he got sick, and his caretaker, Julia Thomas, was a local baker here, and she spoke German, so they had a really good friendship. And he tried to get her, to help her. She was hurting financially, so he helped her out. And as he was on his deathbed, he gave her directions on how to get the mine. Unfortunately, because of his advanced sickness, he wasn't able to give very precise instructions. He did do some drawings. He did something called the Dutchman Doodle, which was a map supposedly to his cache. He had several caches out there in the Superstition Mountains with what would be today, it would be about $75 million worth of gold.
Wow.
Right. It's quite a bit. And so after he passed away, and there is some infighting among who gets the gold that was found under his bed, he decided, Julia and her son decided to go out and try to, you know, they sold the farm, you know, that she had I think she had a bake shop, and then they went out and spent the rest of the year looking for it in the Superstition Mountains. They never found it. And she made faith maps. She made maps based upon the clues to sell the people. So that was one way she was able to recover some money. But it's been an elusive mine for a long time, mainly known only to treasure hunters and those in Phoenix. It was never nationally known. Up until in the 1930s, there's a gentleman by the name of Adolf Ruth. He was a retired veterinarian, and he was disabled. He walked with a cane. He was about 66 years old, and his son was in traveling vacationing in Mexico, and he came across some maps. And he said, "Oh, my father is a treasure hunter." So he sent his father these maps, and Adolf Ruth thought, "Oh, I think I can figure this out." So he went to Arizona. He went to some cowboys at the boardhouse, and he was packed in. He told these cowboys, "Hey, I think I know where this mine is. I have all these maps. Take me out there and set up my camp." First, the owner said, no, there's no way we're going to do that. It's in July. You're 66 years old. You walk with a cane. You're not going to survive." Then he left. The owner left. And so Adolf Ruth was staying there at the camp. And he convinced the other two work hands to take him out. And these two work hands probably are somewhat implicated in the next part. He went missing, and they found his body a few months later. His head they found later, or vice versa. I think they found the head first and then the body second. And there were two holes in the head that indicated that he was shot, you know, one on both sides. And they did an autopsy, and the autopsy report indicated that, but they never filed that. The political power was really rested in the hands of the ranchers back in then. So when the ranchers said, "Hey, he probably fell," the sheriff said, "You know what? I'll take your word for it." And then it was case closed. even though the coroner suggested it was a gunshot. Well, all his maps were missing back in the 30s.
Interesting.
And, that's around that same time. There were other prospectors out in the Superstition Mountains. One of them was by the name of Abe Reed. Abe Reed was a local prospector, a jolly old man. Everybody loved him. And he happened to get a mine, like a known, he started digging for silver in a place that is now called Reed's Water, or Reed's, you know, mine. And that is where it pretty much left off. That's where it ended right there. And that's where I discovered something. So I was looking at some of these maps. They all started with my daughter asked me about this big mountain in front of me. We were driving her to school, and she pointed at that mountain. And we look at this mountain every day. And I said, "That's the Superstition Mountains." And so tell me about it. So I said, "Well, there's like UFO stories. There's Bigfoot. There's missing people. And there's an old mine called the Lost Dutchman Mine." She asked me about the Lost Dutchman Mine. And I told her that I would look into it, and we can talk about it when I pick her up. Well, Google must have heard me, because when I got back home and I put on YouTube, it automatically suggested, "Hey, would you like to see this video about the Superstition Mountains and the Lost
Dutchman
Mine?"
They don't listen to us. Jason is a cybersecurity person. You know they don't listen to us. Come on.
Yeah, it's purely coincidental. This entire story is about coincidence.
But go ahead.
So I watched the video, and it's a history documentary. And I don't know if you're familiar. They add a lot of fluff and fake drama and a lot of history documentaries.
Yes, yes.
And so, you know, there's a lot of, you know, groaning involved, like, oh my gosh, really? But then they happened to show several maps, and that's what piqued my interest. So I pulled up on Google Earth, and I just happened to see a giant heart. I put a, you know, I put on Weaver's Needle, and I said within 5 miles of Weaver's Needle, and I made a circle on Google Earth, and I looked over to the east, and I saw this giant heart. Now, the map I saw on the documentary was called the Peralta Heart Map. It's a giant heart. And I just happened to see this giant heart about, you know, a kilometer across. And I saw exactly where the arrow indicated on the map that there was some digging there. And I zoomed in, and this is a mine here, exactly where that heart where was indicated on the map. And I thought, well, this is too easy. You know, obviously, this is a place where everybody had searched. This is so obvious. And it turns out it was. A lot of people searched that area. But then I zoomed out, and that's when I had like a Goonies moment. You know, like, I don't know if you're familiar with the movie Goonies.
Oh, yeah, sure.
That's when I saw on the map, there's a path leading into the heart. It's all like it looks like a question mark. When I zoom out, I saw that path above the heart on Google Earth. The path leading into the heart on the map is actually the path leading out of the heart on Google Earth. It was very deceptive. And when I realized that, everyone's looking in the wrong spot. I went up and I saw exactly this area. And then I went back to the video and I saw one that said clues of the Dutchman. And I watched them. And some of the clues were, it's right next to a Mexican mine that went all the way through. And I looked at the Google Earth, and there was a little gap between the mountain range that looks like it was dug out that went all the way through. And next to it, there was a little one. So I thought, this is getting easier. And this is amazing. This is purely coincidence, or I just lucked out. I don't know what it was. So then I started grabbing other maps and more maps. I went through every single map. And there was one map that I really liked called the profile map. And that was the most brilliant one I saw. These map creators were so brilliant. They used shadows. And so on the profile map, it's indicated 15,000. And there's an arrow pointed at about 15 degrees northeast, east by northeast. And I just, I'll just see what happens. And I went to Weaver's Needle and went about 15 degrees, 15,000 meters. And lo and behold, purely coincidental, I saw a shadow that looked exactly like the destination on the map.
Oh, my.
The profile map has two mountain ranges, one on the left, one on the right, with an arrow between them. And I saw, and it's exactly down to the meter, 15,000 meters. And it turns out a lot of people probably had figured that out, because there's a, you know, several Dutch hunters is what they call them, who believe that that area in Rogers Canyon is where the Lost Dutchman mine was. But it didn't make any sense to me, because on the map, it also showed that it was bisected, that 15,000 word and 15,000 with an arrow was bisected, and it goes down on the actual map. That's when I realized you have to go down 15,000. So I created a bit T on the map, and it takes you directly to the first one I found where the heart is, down to the foot. So imagine you have a bit T that's exactly 15,000 meters across and then bifurcated down the center at 15,000 feet. And that, lo and behold, there was the exact path, and it actually had a lot of the same landmarks. They had a giant etches that were scored into the earth, a giant boulder. It was identical. Every single thing, every single map was pointed to the area.
Now, let me ask you this. So you're not one of the people who thinks, I mean, I know that there's parts of this that are accepted as truth. You know, I think waltz existed and those kind of things. But some people think it's been wrapped up in a lot of kind of lore. But you believe the mind was real, right?
Absolutely. At the beginning, I didn't know what to believe. Who knew what, it was just Arizona lore. And, Arizona's known, one of the main attractions to Arizona is the Lost Dutchman Mine. And I thought, well, for 150 years, no one's been able to find it. Archaeologists, treasure hunters, nobody. And I'm just a cybersecurity nerd that within 2 hours found the location. I was like, this is impossible.
But here's the thing. You had the advantage. I saw a clip on YouTube or something of Orson Welles talking about Citizen Kane. And he made the point that he was able to do things because he wasn't trained. So he didn't know what he couldn't do. So he got with a cinematographer and he asked the cinematographer to do things that no other director would ask because it had been trained out of them. Sometimes there's a phrase for this, I can't remember if it's the newcomer's advantage or something like that. The idea is that by having fresh eyes and not being trained in a certain direction, you can look at a broader range of possibilities and look at it in a different way. And even your security training, your cybersecurity training, that has a lot to do with puzzles, how to prevent attacks, looking at different configurations of things. I would think in an indirect way, that probably helped you a lot.
Yeah, I look at logs, thousands of logs a day looking for patterns. So that probably has something to do with it. And you're right. I didn't know what I wasn't supposed to believe. I didn't know what I didn't know.
Right.
And all these people assumed or just threw away Reed's Water, that area, as just, that's a very popular spot. It's right in the center of the Superstition Mountains, and every hiker goes through there. There's great camping, there's water. So no, I think nobody just assumed that was there.
It'd be too obvious.
Right? But the reason why it was dug there, yeah, exactly. And the reason why Abe Reed spent over 20 years digging that location, he never found any gold. He thought he had it. He thought perhaps that the lost Dutchman, Jacob Waltz, the Dutchman, mined it all out. He couldn't find anything. He actually asked for help from local treasure hunters and, that brings me to the next thing about, there's a chance that Abe Reed took advantage of or was somewhat responsible for the disappearance and death of Adolph Ruth. Now, there is an eyewitness, a gentleman by the name of Ted Cox, happened to see Abe Reed carrying a dead body headed west down a canyon. But that testimony was never given. He testified to the cops, but it was never taken anywhere. And Abe Reed said, that wasn't me. And they said, okay, you're a landowner. We respect you. But, obviously Ted Cox must be crazy. So there's no reason for Abe Reed to have dug there unless he had this map. Now, he couldn't find any gold. That's not where the mine is at. So he recruited help. He recruited local experts, Bob Garman and Travis Tumlinson. Travis Tumlinson is the famed treasure hunter who supposedly found the Peralta stones, the big stone hearts. He said he was using a restroom in Apache Junction, driving down a road, and he stumbled over some rocks. That's obviously fake. It's been known that he created these stones. His family comes from, his entire family is nothing but map stonemakers. It's pretty obvious that he created them. The reason he created them is the same, Travis Tumlinson and Bob Garman also claim to have found $1 million worth of gold back in the 1950s. $1 million of gold in 1950 is about $65 million now. Mm-hmm. So they claim to have found, but they didn't say they claimed and they found it at Reed's Water. they claimed it about a few miles to the east. The reason why they claimed it 2 miles to the east is everybody knows that everybody knew at the time that Bob Garman thought that the Lost Dutchman mine and everything was in the east. So, you know, they probably assumed that that would be the safest location to claim. But they actually found it at Reed's Water. They figured out the Dutchman's clue. The remember that Jacob Waltz created a map for Julia Thomas to get to the cache. Well, I once you know where the mine is at, you know where the cache is at. Because one of his clues was, if you can find my camp, you can find my mine, because they're next to each other. Well, I find the mound, the mine first, and then I was able to, you know, go back and find the camp.
Figure out where his camp was. Well, let me ask you this. I mean, first of all, do you think it's exhausted? Do you still think there's gold there?
Oh, absolutely. In the mine, absolutely. I went up there, and all the clues were there. There is the 18-inch quartz vein that went all the way down, about 12-foot vein that goes all the way down to into the ground, into a crevice. And so according to lore, the Apache Indians repaired the mine. Now, what that means is up to anybody's guess, but I imagine it means to fill it in. And they filled it in with giant boulders. You know, there's about 6 feet of giant boulders that were lobbed over into this crevice. And I could see underneath the boulders. It's not filled in with dirt. There's no way to get dirt in there. You know, if it was a natural occurrence, it would be filled in, but it was, you know, completely empty. I think there's photos of that in what I sent you.
Mm-hmm.
But on the top layer was all soft dirt. It was blown in there from the top, but it goes all the way down. And I applied for a treasure trove permit to actually, you know, to dig it out. I doubt I'll get it granted. They've only granted one ever.
Well, that was my question. Who owns the rights to it? Is it something like, if somebody goes through a process, anybody could go dig, or does somebody have the mineral rights, or how does all that work?
It's on national forest land. So the Department of Agriculture, it's in the wilderness, and that's all controlled by the Department of Agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
So it's illegal to do any prospecting or digging out there for gold at all. So I wasn't able to do anything. But I do have a permit out there. I'm trying to get a permit. There's only one permit ever been issued in the history of the Superstition Mountains. And unfortunately, the Forestry Service got a bad taste in their mouth with that one. I guess they felt that those people who got it never fully committed to restoring the site to its natural, to its, you know, pre-digging status. So now they don't want to give anything out.
Right.
But I believe that with enough pressure, they would allow me to have a team out there of archaeologists. I'm not looking for gold. I'm not looking for treasure. I want resolution. I want this, you know, how many people die every year looking for looking for this treasure? You know, I think thousands of people go out there every year. Dozens of people get lost, and it's inevitably, you know, up to, you know, a half dozen people die a year looking in the Superstition Mountains, looking for this mine. So I would love for this to be put to rest and to be, you know, having a team out there, because I've been out there and it looks like there's been digging out there and a mine out there for hundreds of years.
Huh.
The Mexicans and the Spanish were out there for hundreds of years digging. And there's got to be, you know, a historical record. There's so much out there that could, you know, shed some light on history.
Yeah. And
I would hate for it to be disregarded or, you know, blown up. The Forest Service is known for destroying these sites to dissuade people from getting there. Like Reed's water, his camp, they blew it up with dynamite because they didn't want people over there going inside.
Hmm.
And I would hate for them to do that to this one.
I mean, I
it
guess
needs
first
to be dug out and studied.
Well, I guess first and foremost, their job is to preserve the wilderness. But I do wonder this. I mean, is there a way to do it responsibly? And I mean, let's face it, the government, the United States government, could use a lot of money. I mean, how much would you even venture a guess of how much that mine might be worth if it were mined?
Oh, man. All right. Well, the Jacob Waltz said it could make 20 men millionaires back in the 1800s. That equates to probably close to $250 to $500 million of gold still there that he was aware of. Now, that entire ridge is probably full of gold with crevices everywhere coming up. Now, I'm not a geologist. I'm sure that entire area was mined, but they were trying to get to a vein. There were several attempts, caves from below the mine, behind the mine, trying to get to this vein. And according to legend, it's the richest vein that's ever been, up to like popcorn-sized nuggets of gold in the quartz. Wow. So I was so hoping to get photos of that. Unfortunately, when I got there, it had been filled in. The 18-inch quartz vein goes about 12 feet, and it goes about another 6 feet below me, but there's boulders in the way. Hmm. And I didn't want to try to even attempt to get the boulders out. One, it's illegal. It's very dangerous, and I don't want to destroy anything.
Right.
There's so much historical record, you know, that the history there, that I want it to be preserved and studied.
So
it's so hard to get to, by the way. Yeah. It's the hardest thing to get there. There's the Lost Dutchman, the Jacob Waltz. One of his clues was that there's a trick in the trail. And oh my gosh, it took me a year to figure it out how to get there. And once you realize what the trick is, you know, the trick is actually to follow the game trails. Don't follow the map. The map just tells you where it is. You have to follow the game trails. Follow where the animals go. The animals know the best spot, and that's honestly the trick. You know, I tried to follow the map, and we got stuck in a ravine. You know, it's impossible. You bypass all that. You have to follow the game, and that's the trick.
So this book, what can people expect? It sounds like they'll get in for some history, some education, some adventure, some mystery. What can they expect from the book?
This is a real life adventure that brought me back to Goonies, Indiana Jones, and Romancing the Stone. These three movies shaped my childhood. So I love the idea of treasure hunting. And this book, I think, fulfills all that. It's available on Amazon, Ingram Spark, and my website, founddutchman.com. And in there, I have several pictures of each of the major clues that the Dutchman provided. As well, my book has everything from the GPS location, the trick in the trail, the exact path to take. It's not like the other books in the Lost Dutchman mine. They don't provide the location. They don't show you pictures. Their goal is just to they show a blurred out picture. I take you directly into the mine. I show you exactly where it is, how to get there, and everything that you'll find. The more people who know about it, the more likely chance that a permit will be approved to excavate it. And, you know, to give, you know, all those who passed away, all the treasure hunters, the natives, everything there, they can honor that location, and, you know, we can protect it.
Well, Jason, I wish you all the best with it. You certainly have a passion for it. It's very interesting. And if you're interested in ancient mysteries, I think you should pick up this book. Not as ancient as some of the ones we cover, going back to Egypt and things like that, but ancient Egypt. But this one, certainly in American history, it goes back, and it's still there today, cracking the code on the Lost Dutchman's mine, how I uncovered the truth about gold, map, and murder. Jason Fritsch, thank you for joining us today on the show. I really appreciate it, and I wish you the best in luck in trying to get that permit.
I really appreciate it. Thank you, Jim.
And thank you for tuning into the show. We appreciate it, and I hope you'll keep exploring those mysteries. Bye.